Okay, if everything is working correctly, we are now live, as well as links have been posted on the Shroud of the Avatar Facebook group, the Ultimate Dragons Internet Chapter group, and the Echoes from the Caverns website just published a post with those links also, one of which is to join us. If you join us, please be courteous. And the other one is just to watch the live hangout on YouTube to see what kind of things we're doing before the video gets published for everybody else.
Fantastic. I hope we get a few viewers.
I hope so, too. It does seem like there's a good number of people watching the show after the fact. I don't know if we've been getting any live viewers or not. Of course, we've been a little, you know, we've had some technical difficulties. We've had some scheduling bumps the last few things. I think we're really starting to get... I think this is the one where we're really starting to get some momentum moving and things seem to be working a little bit better.
Yeah. Actually, technically, it was perfect last time, I reckon.
Good.
So you're really getting into the groove, mate.
Yeah, I'm getting it figured out. You know, I've used the Hangouts in the past. It's just been a few years, and so I'm rusty, and of course, they're changing the software all the time. So.
Isn't it horrible? You go back to doing something you were doing ages or years ago, and you think, how the hell did I do this?
Yeah, I know. I keep getting an error on my Hangout. It doesn't want to install any of like the apps or toolboxes for me, and I'm not sure why that is. It could be this laptop I'm on just doesn't like it. I haven't really messed with it that much because it's not too important at the moment.
Oh, right. Fair enough. I had a bizarre episode because I'm using SoundTap to record the audio stream. And that's what I'm using now for the audio version, which is great. Worked brilliantly on my PC. Mm-hmm. I just could not get it installed on my laptop. Mm-hmm. It would install fine, but it just sits there waiting for an audio stream.
Yeah, you get weird different things and you got to figure them out. And it's like, what's going on here? I know it works fine over there. Yeah.
That's right. But the other week, I finally figured it. I was so pleased because... it's just a bizarre little quirk. My laptop will not or cannot split an incoming audio stream into two internal directions.
Okay.
Into the speakers or the earphones and an app. But if I plug a USB headset in, it's happy.
Okay. All right. So it's got to have an external in addition to that internal rather than...
That's right. It'll send the sound out to the headphones, and SoundTap works like a charm. Oh, it's just stupid, but what the hell? What can you do?
Yeah. I know I have a couple of custom Google overlays, and I wouldn't mind using one of those, but down here on the priority list.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's always a list, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, there's always a list.
Alrighty. Oh, well, for all the thousands of people who are watching and listening... I'll start us off. Hello everyone, this is Asclepius with Echoes from the Caverns. Newscast, dated August 11, 2018. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sestile Tekle and is a combined podcast and YouTube video project. Originally created by Lord Baldrith, it is run and managed by Style Tekle and Asclepius. The background music is by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, how are you doing this week, Style?
I'm doing pretty good. Excited about this update. It's not a big one, but there's a lot of cool things in it. Wearing my, recently we had the Shooter Jennings party.
Yes.
So I'm wearing, to show some of my Shooter Jennings support, I'm wearing my Kumtosh.
Oh, very nice.
Which is the full wraparound label version. This was a limited edition that someone got for me.
Wow, beautiful. I love it. Very nice. Definitely showing the dedication there.
To go along with that, you know, I don't have pink Ray bands like it's got going on there, but I do have some of the black ones. interestingly enough, I did take a pair of Ray bands I had that had some scratches and such on them, and I had been wanting to see if Ray bands would work with Plastidip. And if you're not familiar with Plastidip, it's a paint that when it dries becomes a rubber. You can pull it off afterwards, but it's almost like, if you get a good seal, it's basically you're forming a rubber seal. And so I tried to do a pair of hot pink, just how well Plastidip, because I wanted to test the Plastidip and Ray-Bans, and I was like, you know what, I'll do them hot pink. Unfortunately, you would have to really, I think if you scuffed them up really well to get a better adhesion, it would work. But the way I tried it, they're just, this plastic is so smooth that the paint didn't want to.
Peels off, does it?
Yeah, well, it just doesn't want to coat real well, and then, you know, you get a little bit of that splatter and dripping issue going on, and it worked. They were serviceable pink Ray-Bans, but they look kind of cheap to me, so.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I have a pair of Ray-Bans.
Uh-huh.
They're lovely sunglasses, and I also just turned them into the, pardon me, to the opticians, because mm-hmm. I wear prescription lenses. So they put some tinted lenses in for me. Trifocal, so there's three different zones.
They keep threatening me with trifocals.
Yeah, yeah. Once you get used to them, they're great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You've probably seen, sometimes I'm in contacts. Usually I'm in contacts. You've probably seen me with a pair of glasses once or twice.
Yes.
Actually, within the last year, I had to start doing a thing where... in the past, I wore 30-day contacts where I can leave them in for 30 days, and I take them off. But I've been having problems in the last couple of years where my eyes have gotten more sensitive, and so I have to take them out and clean them on a nightly basis now. They keep telling me I need to get trifocal contacts, and I'm like, I didn't even know that was a thing. I mean, I knew you had them in glasses. I knew you had them in contacts. And apparently they do. They have like a tri-level contact lens. And I'm like right at that entry level where they're like, yeah, just keep putting it off as long as you're feeling okay. Put
yeah,
it off.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
You know, I supplement with the reading glasses once in a while and that sort of thing. But
sure. Yeah.
My time for the trifocal, whether it's glasses or contacts, one way or the other, is coming before long.
It comes, doesn't it? Old age sneaks up on you. It's disgusting.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but once you get used to the concept of moving your head instead of moving your eyes to look at things, it works really well.
I'm sure you adjust to it after a while.
You do.
Like anything else. Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
After a while, you're probably like, wow, this I can see again.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, it's great. Yeah. Okay. Alrighty, well, kicking off the news. We've got another news release this week. Number 292, all about player-made dungeons. That looks pretty exciting.
People are definitely excited. I saw a lot of both in the... I was on during the telethon earlier today after it launched, and after they, you know, I caught the announcement from Brecken on the Twitch stream, and definitely both in the comments on Twitch and what I was seeing in-game on the Nobles channel at the same time. People are really, really excited.
Oh, I think it's going to really add a new dimension to the game. And... people can have their own dungeons, they can create them, put traps and chests and monsters in them. It's going to be wonderful.
It's going to be fantastic. It's going to add a whole new possibility for player-driven quest lines.
Yes, it will. And that is something I think people have wanted for a long time. So that's awesome. Alrighty, moving straight in to the news announcements, we've got the player-made dungeon update. Now, in the last week, we've had design kickoff meetings for several game systems, including Fishing, which is phase two, I'm sorry, for all the mad fishermen out there, and and player-made dungeons.
I almost had my second avatar GM fishing, by the way.
Sorry, say again?
I almost have my second avatar GM fishing.
Really?
Two, yes.
Wow. Now, how long did that take?
Spent a lot of time fishing.
Yeah, I'll bet you did. Did you catch much?
Bass, trout, and all that. I've caught five ancient golden rings over time.
That's nice. That's good. Now, what do they do for you?
Plus one to intelligence.
Oh, fantastic.
really rare item, you know. It's not worth much. I don't know which is worse, that or sometimes instead of one of those... From what I've been able to determine, it's the same odds you get a black pearl.
Right. Okay.
I don't know how many hundreds of thousands or thousands or tens of thousands of casts it is, but it's either an ancient gold ring or a black pearl.
Be still my beating heart.
I know. Yes. I know. The first time I pulled up a black pearl, I was like, are you kidding me? That's an ultimate. ultra-rare fishing item of black pearl.
Oh, wonderful.
But you know, it just became a conversation piece, though, so it's one of those fun things they do, you know.
It's a fishing story, and you got to tell good fishing stories, especially about the one that got away.
I'd like to do some serious fishing soon.
Yeah, okay. Well, I did all right this week. This is a complete segue, talking about drops and rare drops. A while ago, I don't remember where I got it from. Obviously, off one of the trolls. I got a piece of troll skin. And I thought, yeah, okay, that'll come in useful for something one day. So, threw it in the chest at home. And then, having fun up in Upper Tiers with a band of people, I got this weird buckle. Hello, hello, hello. What's this? Nice? And people said, yeah, that makes a belt. Oh, sweet. Okay.
Yep.
And then, would you believe, from somewhere else, I got the recipe as a drop.
Oh, that's lucky.
Oh.
That's lucky.
Nice.
So you got all three components as drops yourself.
Yes. Yes.
That's very nice, because all three of them are, you know, you'll see them if you're out there grinding a lot, but they're not going to happen often.
No. And look, a piece of troll skin that's probably happens every 25th time or something, some stupid number like that, that the troll gets killed. It's the only one I've ever seen. And the recipe, you needed level 90 in tailoring, which I didn't have.
Okay.
And I said, look, I could hang on to this. You know, I'll get it eventually. Oh, what the hell? I'll find one of my guildies. I found someone who was a GM. I said, hey, do you want a recipe? And he said, oh, yeah, cool. And if I give you the components, would you make me one? Sweet. So now I've got a belt of the Troll Lord.
And that was a good deal for them, because first time crafting that, not only did they get the recipe, but they got that nice XP boost too.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Now, did you get lucky enough to get an exceptional out of it?
No, I didn't.
That's where I'm at. I've made three of those now.
Nice.
And every once in a while, when I acquire another buckle and another piece of skin over time, I don't go out shopping for them or trying to gather them up, but I'll pick one up here. I'll see it at a good price or whatever. Or I'll come across it in a batch or something. I'll make another belt hoping to get an exceptional so that I can masterwork and enchant it up quite a bit. But
lovely.
So far, three times, three non-exceptionals.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
So you can actually masterwork them as well.
Yeah. Well, I know you can enchant them. I can't remember if you can masterwork them, but I do know that you can.
Nice.
I'm not sure about the masterwork. Now, speaking of enchantment, I did make GM enchantment this week.
Awesome! Oh, congrats! Well done.
Just the two bottom specifics are left. I think I'm around 70, 80 on each one.
Yep. Yeah, I'm sitting on 83.
Oh, nice.
I'm just waiting to get the pool up higher. So I'm going to have another run at it. I've got a pile of gold and a pile of mandrake root. So once the XP pool gets high enough, I'll give it a good run.
Yeah, I actually picked up a bunch of silver ore and a bunch of gold ore today, and I'll probably be spending a little bit of time tonight, tomorrow, converting that in ingots and getting some of that double XP. And then I'm sitting on about a half million already, so I'm sure sometime soon here I'll be hitting something else up the GM.
Fantastic. Yeah. That's so much easier with double XP weekends, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's great. Okay. All right. But back to the news. We'll be posting more about fishing in Phase 2 soon. In exciting news, we've been able to make faster progress on player-made dungeons than expected due to how much it uses underlying systems like our basements. So that's a brilliant thing. It's a similar concept, similar tools, similar kit. Well, why don't we just throw it in?
Yeah.
While we had originally planned this for an episode 2 feature, we now believe we can have a version of the system up and running as soon as quarter 4 of this year without affecting our work on other systems like fishing. So that's good. The fishermen aren't going to be totally neglected.
Right.
That's nice. To kick off the upcoming launch of this exciting player-made content, we're going to make available 5 dungeon entrances along with 5 static example dungeons in Release 57. Brilliant. So there's 1 entrance and example dungeon will be craftable. The other 4 you can purchase from the add-on store. Very nice. So the included static example dungeons, complete with creatures and loot, will vary in point size and difficulty level, and can be used until the player-built dungeon feature goes live. So we've got some like off-the-shelf ready-built ones to play with in the meantime. That'll be nice. Yeah. And eventually we'll be able to build our own. So when the player-built dungeons feature goes live in Q4, all these example off-the-shelf ready-made ones will vanish, and they'll be replaced by an entry room. But the player will receive the blueprints to all the pieces needed to rebuild the dungeon. There's a little note in brackets there, some assembly required. I wonder if it's going to be as easy as IKEA. So yeah, part A goes with part B, and you put some screws and bolts and slots in here, and if it ends up looking awful, read the manual.
I'm sure at some point down the road there's going to be a lot of people with a lot of chests and trunks in their basements. Doors, corridors, floors, walls.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Player-built dungeons will be expandable and customizable with in-game craftable rooms, nice, and or add-on store rooms. Hey, that's lovely. Mm-hmm. And as a bonus, the add-on store dungeons include a Unity asset pack of dungeon rooms and hallways that you can experiment with using Unity.
That's fantastic.
Which is free for non-professionals to download. That sounds intimidating and frightening, but hey, it might be all right. I've never tried any sort of coding work or anything like that.
I messed around because of Shroud of Avatar, and I'm pulling up the images here on the screen.
Oh, sweet.
I messed around with Blender a little bit and Unity a little bit and some of that stuff when they were taking the crowdsource assets.
Yep.
Decided that while it was something I could certainly learn, I didn't have enough interest to deal with the learning curve, if you will.
Yes. And that's, I guess, what you have to decide. There's a learning curve, and do we want to do this?
Yeah, is it a skill you want to invest your time into learning is what it came down to for me.
That's right. Okay. But, yeah, as you've just flashed up on the screen, they've got these lovely entrances that are to the ready-made dungeons. There's a tomb entrance plus a 50-point dungeon. Looks nice. And that can be crafted to use as the entrance to your dungeon. There's also a crafted 50-point example static dungeon complete with creatures and loot for low-level players that can be used until the player-built dungeon feature goes live. Okay. There's an ancient tome dungeon entrance. That is just like the one in the Compendium of Pain and Suffering. That's in Sultan, isn't it?
Yes. And yes. I really like that. That's a nice small, simple dungeon entrance. It's not going to take a lot of room, and it gets the point across.
It's great. So it's compact, yeah, but there's a great visual effect that looks really good. And that's also a 50-point example, static dungeon, complete with creatures and loot. Yep, nice. Or next, you have the magic mirror.
And that's sharp.
That is sharp.
We recognize the mirror, but I think that's the first time we have a way to put it into our homes.
That is right, yes. So you could hang that mirror anywhere, put it anywhere in your house or your property, whatever. And that is the entrance to your own personal dungeon. That's lovely. It's very much like what is in the Isle of Storms and the New You shops. It fits indoors or outdoors. That's a 75-point dungeon. So a bit bigger. That's at mid-level players. And there we are. Okay. Next is the Ruined Stone Arch dungeon entrance, as you've got on the screen there. Awesome.
Not a bad entrance at all.
That's a nice entrance, yes. Now, if you have space on your property for that lovely little stone arch, that looks really impressive. And it's reminiscent of the moon gates that they've got in the game, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they're using the same animation in the center of that archway, basically.
Yeah, that's right. So that's awesome. And that is a 100-point dungeon, so that's somewhat bigger. Yeah. And, yeah, it looks like the stone arches that indicate the exits in many scenes. Okay, you can place it indoors and outdoors, but it is a large entrance. Make sure you've got plenty of floor space and high ceilings. And it's 100-point. So that's aimed at high-level players. If you want to really test yourself, great, go for it. And next is the Circle of Stones Rift Dungeon. Yes, okay. And yeah, that is also reminiscent of what they've got in the game. Looks beautiful.
I wouldn't mind putting one of those on the roof of my house.
You could do that, couldn't you? Nice. And that will give you a 125-point dungeon. Right, you probably need to be a fairly high-level player. Oh, that's at end-game players. So, yeah, do not expect to conquer this without help from some friends. So, there you are, you have been warned. Very nice. But it's there, and it's available. And, hey, they will be on stream fairly shortly. So that's an awesome achievement. I think that's going to be great, and I think there'll be a lot of interest in that. All right, next item is the Release 56 live stream, YouTube, and stretch goal tracking change. Well, if you didn't catch the live stream last week, it's up on YouTube, and you're free to look at it anytime you like. Also, a reminder, we've updated the way we track stretch goals. So, every Friday for this month is going to be labelled stretch goal and tracking and whatever. You have till midnight tonight for another chance to get us further along on the R56 stretch goals by purchasing something during the 12 hours of sales and stretch goal tracking, which now happens every Friday of the month. Versus just once or sometimes twice, as we've done in the past. So, what that means is every Friday at noon in August. I wonder if they'll do this every month. What do you reckon?
I think that's where they're going. I'm not 100% sure, but...
Sure. That sounds like a fair idea. So, they're going to turn on the big mega everything sale, and probably just about everything will be on sale. And they'll start tracking the stretch goals again, where they left off from the previous week. And then we'll track the totals up until midnight of that Friday and repeat for each subsequent Friday. So that gives them an entire month to build up to the stretch goals, which means basically that everybody gets more and better rewards. So that's pretty awesome. During the weekly 1-hour community live stream, we'll remind everyone about the stretch goals, but those live streams are going to be the same format. They won't be like a post-mortem. They won't be like a regular after-game live stream. This is going to be the same format. There's just 30 minutes of news and 30 minutes on some topic or other. Okay, so now looking so far, I'm delighted to see that we've achieved all the way down to 50,000, for which you get an ether bow and an ether crossbow.
You've been wanting that bow, so there you go.
I've been absolutely wanting that bow. I'm going to take that, I'm going to salvage it, and get the pattern, and drop it onto one of the bows that I craft, because that is going to look really, really nice, I think.
Yep, I think that'll be a nice looking bow.
So that's awesome. The next target is for 65,000. You get a box of replenishing ether dye. For 80,000, there's an Aether Dragon statue, which is a village-sized statue. You can have your very own Aether Dragon in your village. Or for 90,000, there's an Aether Axe, an Aether One-Handed Spear, and an Aether Two-Handed Bludgeon. And hey, they're going to be pretty good to wield as well.
Oh yeah, I'll probably use one of them spears.
Fantastic. So, let's see how close we can get. We've got the rest of the month to do it. And every Friday for 12 hours, it all counts towards these rewards. Fantastic. Alrighty, next item is the rewards program that they've been talking about. And I think it bears repeating because that's a great idea. They've launched this program basically for the benefit of anybody who wants to make a small contribution regularly to the game and not forget about having to front up for the live streams, because if you're away, if you're out of town, if you're on vacation, you miss out on all these cool rewards. Well, this way you don't have to. So if you are prepared or interested in contributing $9 a month, which is not very much really, it's about three cups of coffee, or maybe two if you get expensive stuff, it automatically enrolls you in the monthly live streams, so it counts as the $5 minimum, along with any other perks. So you've enrolled in the live streams automatically, and when they start dishing out all these cool rewards, you just find them in your bank, and that's automatic. So this is what you get. You get 9 gold crowns of the obsidians every month. You, as I said, you automatically participate in their stretch goals. You get an exclusive title every 3 months. That's quite cool. You can pick any die pack every 6 months. You can pick 3 obsidian potions every month. They are really cool. And they certainly make a difference. I don't go anywhere without them. The potion of capacity, that is amazing. You can carry so much more when you down that one. And they last for a week, so it's fantastic. And I generally use the potion of preservation as well, because it reduces armor and weapon damage. Don't have to repair it quite as often. But you've got all those others, and they are really good. Oh yeah, when I'm breaking down bows and trying desperately to get those elven bowstrings, the potion of reclamation comes in handy as well.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know if it makes any difference, because it break down a whole batch and not get anything.
Yeah.
But still, it's there. I use it.
Bonds go for you, sometimes they don't.
Yep, that's exactly right. And it's so weird, because when I'm making batches and batches and batches of stuff, like ingots, like potions, like food, sometimes you get a run and you think, you made an exceptional item. Like, oh, wow, fantastic. And for those, it doesn't make any difference. You know, the quality of the item isn't any better. You just get about triple the XP for it.
Sure.
So, hey, that's good. I'll take that any day.
Definitely.
Alrighty. Next item. Something to celebrate, as we mentioned, because the R56 livestream stretch goal was met, we get double XP for every weekend in August to celebrate the closest approach of the comet, and that's a fantastic deal. If you want to do any adventuring or crafting or whatever, yeah, the weekends are a great time to do it, because you really rocket up the XP. Actually, I'm looking forward to getting out and doing a siege sometime this weekend.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I actually found a siege the other night, and wow, I don't know what it was, whether it's the bow I got, whether it's the troll belt, whatever. I whizzed around and cleaned it up in about 20 minutes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then I had Dolus to face. He's not very terrifying.
No.
So I just ran around and kept out of his way and peppered him with arrows until he finally died and said, yeah, you might be the one I'm looking for.
Very nice, very
yes.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah, I haven't managed to knock over some of the more threatening ones, though. They're a real challenge. Okay, there's a weekend flash sale. Everything elven is on sale this weekend.
It's a lot of elven items.
Wow, yeah. And they've added some craftable elven furniture to the game. which you get with drops. So you get it by defeating elven enemies. I've got a few. So have you managed to pick up some?
Not yet. I believe we have a guild hunt this Sunday, and it's been mentioned that we might go just beat up on some elves for a while to get some recipes.
Yeah, good.
The only suggestions on the best place for that.
Yeah. Well, I've got a number in the Crags Foothills.
Crags Foothills, yeah.
Because that's one of my favourite hunting grounds. But the only frustrating thing is you get a number of recipes. I've got a recipe for a table. That's great. I've made a chandelier. I've made a wall light. But then you get a desk light, a floor light. That's right. You get a floor light. And for that, you need a desk light plus a few other components.
Right.
I don't have the recipe for the desk light yet.
Yep.
So they
really wanting that one, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. It's just frustrating that there are a number of components that you need, and I don't yet have the recipe for one of the basic components. But I'm sure it's out there somewhere. Either that, or it'll be on somebody's vendor fairly soon.
Right, you'll come across it, yep.
Yep. Okay, so, yes, there is a whole lot of elven stuff. There's furniture sets, there's lamps, there's chandeliers, bathtubs, staffs, armor, all sorts of armor, kinsman buckler, there's masks, there's various types of homes and inns, tree homes, planting beds, statues, starter bundles, wings, upgrades, townhouses, a row house rather, a town lot bundle. Wow, okay, the bundles as well, and upgrades. There is a lot there.
Elven, it's on sale.
Absolutely. Follow the little fairy feet to the add-on store, and you'll find something good, I'm absolutely sure. So if you have any interest in elven stuff, it is all there for you. Very nice. Okay, there's an upcoming events calendar. On August 10 to 11 is SindCon. Yeah, like now. Okay. So I hope they're enjoying themselves there. August 21 to 25 is Gamescom. August 30 is Release 57. August 30 to September 3 is DragonCon. September 7 is the Release 57 live stream. September 27 is Release 58. October 5 is the Release 58 live stream. October 11 to 13 is SOTACON in Austin. And I am sure that a lot of people are planning to go there. That's going to be awesome. October 25, Release 59, followed by the live stream on November 2. Release 60 is happening on November the 15th. And either in late November or early December, either the 30th or the 7th, there'll be the live stream. Nice and early before Christmas, so we all get a chance to go away and have a decent break. December 13th, Release 61. And either December 21 or January 4, there will be the Release 61 live stream. So that's what's happening on the calendar coming up in the future. Awesome. We should probably be getting our posted deliverables by then. I think they're going to start posting them fairly soon.
Yeah, I know it's not too much longer.
Yep. We've been looking forward to that, and it'll be great to see those little boxes coming in the mail. Alrighty. Now, next item, we have the Grand Duke event and the PvP tournament. We've been talking about this for a couple of weeks now. It's from a forum post by Ceres. They've got some teams, so that's awesome. And it'll be fascinating to see how it turns out. The Grand PvP tournament is going to take place tomorrow, Saturday, August the 11th, at 1 p.m. Central. So put that time in your calendar. That, unfortunately, is about 2 a.m. on Sunday for me. So I may not be there, but I hope a lot of people will be. It's going to be fun to watch. Okay. It's Saturday, August the 11th at 1 p.m. Central. It will be in the Baron's Reach Arena. And if you know where Barron's Reach, if you don't know where Barron's Reach is, you can find it on the map. It's sort of up in the northeast of the continent, pretty much northwards from Brittany. Okay, so there is a seven-team double elimination. And there's a whole sort of chart there as to what's going to happen. And there we are.
There you go.
Lovely. So we have some teams, including Fine Garlic and Dragon's Breath and Gauntlet and Pax Guard, Aether Avatars, Shatter Fist, and Not Mango. So there we go. And the winners of each battle will go on to play the winners of other battles. And there we go. It looks just like the finals and semi-finals of a sporting competition, which it is, really.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be pretty good. Okay, the setting is that the matches are going to take place in a 5-versus-5 setting. A warrior is considered defeated on death. Okay, once you die, that's it. You're out. Resurrection is not allowed here. The matches will be played in the order indicated in the graphic above. A team is considered defeated once all 5 warriors are killed, so you have to kill everybody. A defeated team will be moved to the corresponding loser bracket, still has the chance to fight its way onto the big final. So there you go. You don't necessarily drop out if you lose a battle. You might actually still have a chance to get in. Now, under the heading Fairness and Order, spectators are welcome, but may not interfere in the battles. You stay out of there and do not join in. There's no fighting in the spectator area. Oh, damn. Not like soccer matches. Ransom, it's a friendly PvP tournament. Don't touch the gravestones of defeated players. So we've just made it a rule. Ransom does not apply here. And players can turn PvP protection on or off in the Oracle Confirmatory next to the arena. So before you go in, you can turn protection off. And then once you've finished, I guess you can turn it on again. Very nice. So the prizes, which are pretty awesome and quite nice for the winning team, they get a tax-free player-owned town city lot deed. Very nice. So a city lot deed for a player-owned town.
Nothing to laugh at.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be a very, very nice prize. And a heraldry cloak eternal pattern for each team member. And 45 Kotos for every team member. That's pretty awesome. Something very worth fighting for. For the second place, you get a town lot deed for a player-owned town. Heraldry cloak pattern for everybody. And 19 Kotos. And for the third place, village lot deed, a heraldry cloak pattern, and 9 Kotos for each member. So that's great. There are rules as they've laid out, and just to repeat and remind everybody, each match will be overseen by at least one Shroud staff member. Portalarium and Trevin Games can disqualify any member or team for fraud, attempts, bug exploits, use of third-party software, and or breach of community rules. So keep it clean, keep it fair. And that's all they want. They just want a nice, fair fight. Every team and warrior can use any gear or item during the battle. By the way, except the Royal Founders or Founders Crystal Sword. They probably hadn't thought of that. If you've got a Crystal Sword...
And the Immortality Fruit.
And the Immortality Fruit, that's right. Yes. Yeah, so yeah, they're just probably just a little bit too powerful. And if multiple team members aren't able to attend, you can still proceed with fewer warriors, although your chances are not as good. All right, the search for the strongest avatars of Novia has started, and may the best team win. That'll be fun to watch, and I hope they have a great time.
I'm sure it'll be a fun event.
I reckon it will. Okay, the Grand Duke event sale is in its final day, people. So if you want to get any of this stuff, it is 20% off in the add-on store. I still have to work out how to do this. I'm going to, I promise. I'm going to get some heraldry happening.
Yeah.
So in support of this tournament, at all dies, heraldry wearable items are on sale. So your team can show their colours and possibly a team sigil. Today is the final day of the sale. So just about any Eternal Pattern set that you want, you can get. Any kind of die. Yeah, okay, we won't go through all of those because there's just so many. There's an amazing amount of dyes. Okay, but there's your basic colours. There's sparkling, there's cycling, there's glowing, there's pulse dye. Oh my goodness, okay. All right. Yeah, people have the opportunity to look fabulous. And if you don't like it, there's a dye remover.
There is.
So you think, oh no, that looks absolutely disgusting. What have I done? Just get the dye remover pack and take it off. So there we are. It's all on sale this weekend, 20% off in the add-on store. Good. All right, next item from Merits again. The wonderful people who run this fitness app and give us all the potions, they are having another sweepstake. Brilliant. And as they say, whether you move a little or a lot, as a Merits user, you rack up valuable Merits points every time you walk around. You're racking up points. Well, why not use them for something useful? And, of course, the more points you have, the more stuff you can buy. Okay. Well, you think in-game goodies, there's sweepstakes entries, there's relics by Rilled giveaways, and all that sort of stuff. They launch several sweepstakes every month. Now, this month, they are giving away a Topiary Town Dragon statue. Seriously, it's huge.
It's big.
Yeah, it looks lovely. It looks fantastic and impressive. And wouldn't you love that to be decorating your town? So it's valued at $134.
I got that up on the screen there.
There you go. It's on the screen. Brilliant.
I had it. I thought.
You did. I saw it. Go past. There it is.
Here it
Wonderful.
Is.
Yep. So you can, you can just see that in relation to the size of the avatar standing next to it.
Yep.
Wow. Okay, that's awesome. It's valued at $134. All you have to do to get it is bang in an entry every day. And I think an entry will cost you about 2,500 or 3,000 Merits points, which you get by walking around. So basically it's free. So why not do it? And you can enter to win a Relics by Rilled $50 gift card. You can win Certicon t-shirts and tickets. So there you go. So I can thoroughly recommend this. It's a great idea. Get into it, download Merits today. And of course, the next item is also about Merits. As they've been advertising, you can win a pair of Certicon 2018 tickets. And in the same vein, as you're walking around generating points, you can enter every day in the sweepstakes for a chance to win. They draw a winner once a week for a custom t-shirt with this beautiful emblem on it during June and July and August. All entries in will count towards the grand prize, which will be drawn in September. And the lucky winner will get a pair of tickets to Sotocon and a pair of custom t-shirts, which is great if you have a snowball's chance in hell of getting there anyway.
Right.
Yeah, if you sort of don't, like me on the other side of the world,
We'll put in for Relics by Rilled.
Relics by Rilled will be the way to go. Exactly. And they offer amazing stuff. So there you go. Enter daily to win. You can also watch Lunch with Laz and Jack every day for additional entries. And they also offer weekly prizes of a t-shirt. Okay. We have a project to support. It's Underworld Ascendant. Now, that's been working for a while. They've been following the development of it for quite a while, ever since it appeared on Kickstarter. There's been new updates. It's approaching a launch. Nice, in the second half of 2018. So it's nice to see other games approaching the critical stage. Yep.
Here we go. I'm buying a Relics from Rilled ticket right now.
Fantastic.
Going up or not. But there we go. Merits confirmed. Success. One Relics from Rilled tickets. That easy.
It is. It is so easy. All you have to do is pull up your phone and pull up the app and go clickety click, and there you are. You are in. It is perfect. Okay, Underworld Ascendant is the next generation follow up to Ultima Underworld. I can dimly remember playing that, and that was a great game.
Yeah, it was a great game. I have them upstairs, actually.
Oh, terrific. It's the critically acclaimed series credited with creating the immersive sim genre, and it influenced such game series as BioShock, Deus Ex, Dishonored, Elder Scrolls, and even Minecraft. Gee, I wonder how many people play Minecraft these days. Yeah, I've heard so much about it, and I've never actually got around to touching it. But yeah, people love Minecraft.
I'm not a big Minecraft fan, but I did the Kickstart for Underworld Ascendant, so I'll have that.
As did I. Okay, Other Side Entertainment includes original creators of the Ultima Underworld series, is innovating upon the series' signature player-authored gameplay in bold new ways. It'll be published on Steam for PC, and you can wishlist it. So there you go. Get into it. Right, resources, players helping players. Until the big official player manual comes out, which probably will be in the box which we receive in the mail, we have the new player welcome forum and the player created resources forum. There's links to both of those in the newsletter, and they have the best player created resources for Shroud of the Avatar. They have a written guide, they have a video walkthrough, they have a wiki website. If you need to know anything, it's probably there. And the game can get a bit confusing at times, but hey, it's good to know that people have your back and they have the answers for you. And there's also a community resources page for a complete listing of everything in the community. And it sort of looks scarily like we've come to about the end of the news for the week.
It's the end of the news. I brought down a show and tell item. Well, I guess two, because I brought down the Kumtai shirt. But, you know, we were talking, and I said that for our guests, I said, hey, Asclepius, you know, I got a lot of cool Shroud of the Avatar related things laying around, so maybe I'll do like a show and tell once in a while.
Awesome.
I'm going to go off camera here while I remember. Ah, there they are. So I brought a couple down. I'm going to rotate the camera here. Oops, I'm going to take and pull the cords right out. All right, so for those who remember Fire Lotus used to be the community manager.
Yes.
And she was for several years for Shroud of the Avatar. And not everyone knows this, but one of the things that Fire Lotus did on the side, I don't think she's doing it currently. I may be wrong on that, but I looked and I couldn't find her webpage. Now, maybe the address changed, something like that, I'm not sure. But she makes wands, both, you know, your traditional Wiccan wand with different types of wood, different things going on there, energy put into them and so forth. And she'll also make cosplay wands. Well, Fire Lotus being the community manager she is, I talked to her, I placed some orders, and I had a pair of Shroud of the Avatar cosplay wands made.
Nice.
So I'll bring these up here and see if I can get all the details on camera. So here you have the first one. Of course, you have the Silver Serpent Silver there. She did the colors with a little Serpent Silver charm hanging.
That is beautiful.
He's got some of the runes up in here, and it's a twisted wood.
Yep.
And then...
Yeah, it looks reminiscent of a drill bit. It's beautifully twisted.
Yeah, she did a great job on the twist. And then here's the other one. And the idea is this is the idea of the set is this is more your quartz wand, your royal wand, your fancier, more decorated wand for your costume. And then without things dangling bits getting in your way, here's your more your using wand, your battle wand, if you will. This has got a twist, but she added some color inside the twist there. And then down at the bottom on the base there.
Nice.
So okay. Those were made by Fire Lotus, the community manager. Now, when I had these made, I did do an article, posted it up out there, and there were some other people that had indicated that they were interested. They're going to contact or seen about getting a shot of the Avatar cosplay wand, or maybe some Ultima cosplay wands. I don't know if anyone else ever actually ended up placing any orders from that or not. Those are the two that I had done. So
they're beautiful. And just a note to everybody who's listening to the podcast version on Avatars Radio, you'll probably have to check out the YouTube link. This will be up on YouTube, and it'll be there for you to watch if you can bear our ugly faces. You can look at all this cool stuff in actual glorious living color. It is really cool, and it's really worth watching.
So yeah, I have a few different things, cool little artifacts like that, if you will, that being a day one Shroud of the Kickstarter, Shroud of the Avatar Kickstarter and fan that I've acquired over the years, that are kind of neat and cool, and just at least until we get some guests in here to take up and make this more interesting, I figure I'll do a little show and tell once in a while.
Fantastic. Oh, look, I'm sure that's going to generate interest because the stuff you've got there is really, really nice.
I've definitely been fortunate in being active in the community, like I always have been. A lot of this stuff comes your way if you're interested in it, I guess is the way to put it.
Yes, and people will get to know. Word spreads by word of mouth and by experience, and they get to know that Style is the man to go to. Because he's got the interest, and he's got the stock, and he's got the resources, and got the means to either move it on one way or another, or to store it. So yeah, I mean, gee, look at your room there. That's amazing.
Yeah, my whole house is like this room. Honestly, it's you can't see it really. Well, I can probably just pop this right off here and show you up on the ceiling. I actually have posters. There you go.
Yeah.
I can orientate. There we go. There's the correct way. You can see I have posters on the ceiling. And that's also becoming... things on the ceiling is becoming common throughout my house also.
Very nice.
Just too much stuff. People say I hoard and I collect and I have too many material possessions. And I say, no, it's inventory. It's retirement. Investment. When I'm older and I start to sell some stuff off here and there to pay for the golden years, as they say.
Yes, you're sitting on your fortune.
That's right, I'm sitting on my retirement. Until then, I get to play with it and show people cool little things.
That is fantastic. I love it. I love that. That is such delicate work, and those wands are just beautiful.
Did a great job on them. A lot of people in the community thought they were really cool. I hope some other people place some orders with her, especially like I'm not sure she's still doing the Fire Lotus designs. I did not find it on the links that I had. She might have stopped doing that. I contact her and drop her a note. I'm friends with her on Facebook, they're pretty cool. I mean, definitely. And it wasn't real expensive. I couldn't tell you. I mean, it was like 15, 20 bucks a piece, something like that. You know, it wasn't
That's
a real
not much. Yes.
purchase. Shipping right. as harsh as the wand cost because they were coming from, I think, was she Alaska?
Yes. Yeah, shipping kills you, doesn't it?
Especially when it's international like that, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
But I was like, Fire Lotus makes wands. I got to have some Shroud of the Avatar cosplay wands from Fire Lotus because of the connection there, and
yeah,
so that was it. Yes. Cool.
I know. I had a experience with shipping this week. I've got a Nespresso coffee machine. Mm-hmm. And, oh, it makes beautiful coffee in the morning. And there's a little milk frother attachment type thing. All the little bits come off and you throw it in the dishwasher, wash it up. And unfortunately, one of the little plastic pieces bounced out of the tray where I was keeping it, fell down the bottom of the dishwasher, right next to the heating element, and it got fried.
Oh.
Yeah, it just melted. And they don't sell those tiny, tiny little parts separately. Mm-hmm. So your only option is to buy another milk frothing unit. Oh, great. Thanks very much. So I went online, found it for $29. That's pretty good. And $12 postage.
There you go. Yeah.
There you go.
I was going to say, you can check. You know, I've never actually done this, so I don't know how successful you would be. But you can check Shapeways and see if you can print a replacement part on Shapeways. Something like that specific. I doubt they have anything like that on there. That's one of those instances where you almost wish you had your own 3D printer and the manufacturer had a catalog. Grab parts.
We'll be nice. Yeah, yes. We will. We will one day. All right, 3D printing is really coming in.
It's become affordable, and I don't think it will be. Once they're in almost everyone's home, like the TV had to do and the computer had to do and everything else had to do, then I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing manufacturers offer, if these 15 parts break, we offer the file to print those. You know, the other parts you can't print them yourself, but these parts, if one of these parts break, you just download it and print it, and there you go.
It's a brave new world, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. Okay. All right. Well, if that's it for the week.
That's it for me.
I might take us out. The wonderful background music for this podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Tackle for the technical work on the newscast and for all this cool video stuff. This is great fun. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on Avatars Radio. Don't forget, Avatars Radio needs your support to keep the magic of this podcast and events and music going. Visit their page at avatarsradio.info and click on the Patreon link. This is Asclepius and
Sir Style Tackle
signing off until next week with Echoes from the Caverns.